Our first speaker tonight, we have a list of speakers. Our first speaker is the Right Reverend Bishop Peter Coffin, who is the Anglican Bishop Ordinary to the Canadian Armed Forces and the former Bishop of Ottawa. Let's all welcome him here.
Well, it's really a great honor to be here tonight with you. Your church has been very much in the center of our hearts for a number of months now, and particularly tonight as you mourn the loss of His Holiness Pope Shenouda III. There are a number of folks, and you'll hear from some others, sister and brother Christians from other churches in the community, and mourning with you as you mourn your Pope and your great leader. I have some relationship with this congregation because when I was a priest in a neighboring Anglican congregation of Christ Church Bell's Corners, before you built this building, you met in Bell's Corners. And so we had the great honor of having you close to us and with us. And when the day came that this church was being dedicated, His Holiness came here to do that, and I was, having been your former host, I was invited. And I thought I'd get a brief audience with the Pope, maybe shake his hand, kiss his ring, and do all those sort of things. I didn't realize I'd get a chance to spend well over an hour with him. And I was a little awed because I became a priest in the year that he became Pope. So this is, you know, quite an awesome honor. You know, I found him to be a deep scholar, a mystic, a very holy man, and incredibly engaging. I didn't feel the least bit uncomfortable with his holiness. He just had that kind of pastoral sense about him, but you all know that. And there's some things that we particularly remember about him in the Christian church throughout the world, and that is the Sea of St. Mark, extending into Africa, has extended much further. And this very holy man was a church planter like nobody else. There, I don't know how many Coptic churches there were in the 80s in North America, but he planted churches throughout North America, and so many of us got to live with brother and sister Christians from the Coptic Church, which is an experience for us. And the other thing that's really incredibly important to all of us throughout the church is that. He was a great ecumenist, and he said right from the very beginning of his ministry, I quote, "The whole Christian world is anxious to see the church united." And he said, "Christian unity must be founded upon a unity of faith and not upon jurisdiction." Well, we are all believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and lives forever. And tonight, we give thanks for His Holiness, our brother, because he's our brother too, and we have great awe and respect for him, and we rejoice that he has always walked with the Savior, but now sees God face to face. So it's a privilege to be here with you, and it's always a privilege to be with you.
Thank you, Bishop Peter. Our next speaker is the Very Reverend Father Ghattas Hajjal from St. Elias Antiochian Orthodox Cathedral here in Ottawa.
Thank you. While I was entering this church this evening, my brother, Father Shenouda, asked me to say a few words about Pope, His Holiness Pope Shenouda. I remember the first time I saw him was on the TV in 1971. I was an active, very active member in the Orthodox Youth Movement. My bishop, Metropolitan George Khudur, was a friend of Pope Shenouda, and he told us, "You have to watch his consecration on the TV." And we were so delighted to see a young man taking care and be in charge of all the Coptic Orthodox Church in the world. and I heard a lot about him from his friend, my bishop, Metropolitan George Khudur. Then I had the opportunity to visit Cairo and other cities of Egypt many times in 1984 on a business trip. I was a banker at that time. I was a banker and a priest. So one time, Metropolitan George Khudur said, you have to go and see Pope Shenouda. He is in exile. He is in the desert. I said, what do you want me to say to him? He said, go and take his blessing. I said, okay, fine. I will go and take his blessing. So on Friday, they close everything, and I asked some of my friends there, can you drive me to the desert? They said, with pleasure. We went. We drove for more than 2 hours. Half of it was on the sand in the desert. And we reached there, and there was an inspection point. The soldiers told me, do you have a license? Do you have a permission? I said, for what? I'm a priest. I'm here to see another pope here. I'm coming here to take his blessing. He said, no, you should have a permission. I said, from whom? Oh, from the authorities. So we begged him to go in. They did not allow us to go in. So we waited for another week, and we got the permission that was necessary, and we went there. And to my astonishment and surprise, this Pope Shenouda, this holy man, was so humble to meet me at the door of the monastery with open arms like this. And he said, Ahlan wa sahlan, ahlan wa sahlan, izzayyak ya abuna, izzay al mutran gurj. Gurj, yani George. And we went in and we spent 2 hours together. And my first question was, why are you here? Why did they send you here? He said, because I preach in the name of Christ. I said, but are they going to stop you? He said, no, I'm going to preach more here. I have more time to meditate, to pray, to preach, and to publish books. I said, fine, they did you a favor. He said, yes, they did me a favor. The 2 hours went like a moment. He gave me so many books, so many tapes. And then he said, it's time to have lunch together. And it was the happiest moment to share and break bread with His Holiness that holy day of Friday in the desert. Then he said, now you are going to see many people coming to visit us. And we went outside, outdoors of the church and the monastery, and there were so many buses from all over, perhaps Egypt, buses from all over with people coming just to take his blessing and to listen to him and hear him speaking and praying and inspiring them with his words. And he would answer every question. He would sit on a chair, low chair, with a loudspeaker in his hand, take all the questions, a piece of paper, read the question, and give the answer immediately like this. And he was so inspiring. And I spent another 2 hours with him. And when I was ready to leave again, he walked with me outside the door, and he said, give my love to your bishop. And then after 15 years, we met him here. He came to visit Ottawa, and he was at the Coptic Church in Orleans. And I went to see him and take his blessing. Immediately, he remembered me. After 15 years, he remembered me. He said, Abuna Ghattas, how are you? I was not expecting to see you here. I thought you are in Lebanon. I said, I'm here to take your blessing, Sayyidina. I know him as a preacher, as a shepherd, as a loving father, as a writer, very inspiring, a holy man, and now he is in heaven, praying for us, watching over us, and all over the Copts in the world. You were in his heart, you were in his mind all the time, as well as all the Christians. His dream was to unite all the churches together. And I will end my words with this prayer. With thy saints, O Lord, give rest to the soul of our Pope Shenouda in a place of brightness where there is neither sickness nor sorrow nor sighing, but life everlasting. Amen.
I'd like to call up next our friend, the Honorable Pierre Polievre, Minister of Parliament for Nepean Carleton, and the representative for the Right Honorable Stephen Harper. He's very busy today. It's budget day, and thank you for coming with us and spending some time with us and giving us some of your very busy schedule.
Thank you very much. It is a real honor to be here today to address you on what must be a very sad occasion for so many of you. I know that the last several years have not been easy for the Coptic Christians of Egypt. It is a persecuted people under attack from extremists and terrorists who threaten the value of religious freedom, but it is also a group, the Coptic Christians, who through their courage and their conviction continue in their devotion to Jesus Christ and to their faith. They do so at great personal danger, but they do so through the inspiration and the leadership of people like Pope Shenouda III, who was Pope of Alexandria and who put his own life in constant jeopardy in order to bring forward the message of the faith in what had become a very hostile land. I want to tell you that Canada, under the leadership of our Conservative Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, is in complete solidarity with the Coptic Christians of Egypt and with persecuted religious minorities all around the world. And that is why I'd like to read a message directly from Prime Minister Harper, who has now signed the condolence book to Pope Shenouda. And he says the following: I was deeply saddened to hear of the passing of Pope Shenouda the third, Pope of Alexandria, much beloved and respected leader of the Coptic Orthodox Church. Pope Shenouda III steadfastly led his community through challenging times. Pope Shenouda was an exemplary promoter of religious tolerance and understanding, renowned for his humanity and empathy with the Coptic community as well as people of other faiths. He was cherished by young and old alike and honored around the world. Canada joins those who mourn in his passing. I have a similar statement here from Ministers John Baird and Jason Kenney. But at this time, I'd like to revisit the words of the 23rd Psalm of David that helps me pass through the most difficult times, where he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." And Pope Shenouda is now with the Lord, We can take comfort in that and in all of his blessings. And I would like now to present a special gift to Shenouda Boutros for on behalf of the Prime Minister. This is a picture of Prime Minister Harper signing the condolence book in front of a beautiful picture of Pope Shenouda III. Thank you very much.
I'd like to call up next our friends from the embassy are here with us today. So we'd like to welcome to speak His Excellency Wael Abul Magd, Ambassador of Egypt to Canada.
Father Shenouda, Father Barsoom, clergy representing the various denominations here in Canada, distinguished representatives of the Government of Canada, Excellencies Ambassadors, and members of the Diplomatic Corps in Ottawa, dear fellow Egyptians, it is with a heavy heart that I come today to join you all in mourning the passing of a great Egyptian, His Holiness Pope Shenouda III, a distinguished and prominent religious leader, a learned theologian, a skilled preacher, a talented author, a spiritual father, and a man of God who devoted his entire life to the service of humanity. But as is the case with all men of great stature, their passing provides us with an opportunity to celebrate their lives and to recommit to all which they stood for and fought for throughout their lives. Much has been said about the virtues of Pope Shenouda, and much more will be said here, today, and all over the world for many years to come. Many will recall his wisdom and how he dealt with the countless challenges he confronted. Others will praise his compassion towards the needy and the less fortunate in life and how he made it his mission to ensure that none of the church's followers were forgotten or without the basics of life. Yet others will remember his utter humanity in dealing not only with those who revered and respected him, but equally, and perhaps more significantly, his humanity towards those who disagreed with any of his views. Our late Pope was indeed a man of countless virtues. But with so many virtues and so precious little time, I will seek your indulgence and share with you what I, as an Egyptian, and many others like me, have learnt from our late Pope. I had the pleasure of meeting Pope Shenouda on only a few occasions, the last of which was in August 2010, prior to my departure to Canada, when I was privileged to spend some time with His Holiness. And indeed, that meeting had a profound impact on me. And I, like many others, certainly learned much from this great Egyptian man. We learned from him that anyone can be angry. Anyone can be outraged and use harsh language, but only the few possess the inner peace and the wisdom to face adversity and hardship with compassion. We learned from him that while words can have great meaning, silence can be even more profound. We learned from him that while spirituality and piety are virtues we should all strive for, hard work, good organization, and modern thinking are indispensable qualities in anyone wishing to serve others. We learned from him that the rewards of selflessly helping those in need far exceed the reward of any other act or activity. We learned that Egypt is not a land we live in, but rather a land that lives within us, and many of us are always proud to quote him in that. We learned to love life and everyone and everything in it, and that a man of God, a true man of God, cannot have room in his heart for anything but love. Let me share with you a few verses of a poem written by our late Pope in his moving, eloquent Arabic. نحب هذا الوطن ونحب ما فيه نحب نيله وأراضيه وشوارعه وحواريه ومزارعه وصحاريه. نحب صناعه وفلاحيه، نحب مستقبله وحاضره وماضيه، نحب علمائه ومرشديه، نحب أقباطه ومسلميه. نحب هذا الوطن حين يرضى وحين يغضب، نحب حين يمنح وحين يمنع. أحب فراعنة أجدادي، وأحب أرضه أرض ميلادي. أحب نيله ليس فقط وهو يجري في الوادي، بل حينما يجري في فؤادك وفؤادي. In these short verses, the word love was mentioned more than 10 times. I cannot imagine that this was coincidental. On the contrary, I truly believe it was our Pope, once again, instructing us, guiding us, educating us to love our country, to love one another, and to love life itself. To conclude, I wish to refer to a characteristic of our late Pope, which strikes me as perhaps the most prominent of his many attributes, namely, his unqualified, absolute, and total Egyptianness. For while he was well-traveled and had experienced many cultures and civilizations, our late Pope could never be anything but Egyptian. He was, in fact, the embodiment of what it means to be Egyptian. I do not want to exaggerate the positive traits we Egyptians tend to think God has bestowed upon us, and in fact, it is not easy to describe exactly what I mean. But anyone who has had the privilege of meeting our Pope would understand, would know what it means to be the son of an ancient land with the benefit of 7 millennia of accumulated history, would appreciate and recognize the influences on him and on all of us of our pharaonic civilization, of our proud Coptic and Muslim heritage, be it in the way we talk or in how we celebrate our holidays, our superstitions, our sense of humor. Being an Egyptian is being all of the above, and knowing Pope Shenouda was like having a window into the soul of Egypt. It saddens me, ladies and gentlemen, to come and stand before you today as we mourn Father Shenouda. He taught us so much. He never spoke of persecution. He was a man of love, of compassion. Even in his ecumenical work, it reveals the true character of the man who unified and did not like to separate, who never used harsh language in describing anyone or any situation. Finally, I think our Pope could not have hoped to leave a better, more enduring legacy than his legacy of love for one and for all. That is why I think what we owe him most is to continue to carry his message of love. Our dear Pope, you will be dearly missed. And just as you always brought us Egyptians together throughout your life, you have once again brought us together as you are leaving us behind. And as we are all gathered here today to celebrate your life, we are comforted by the fact that your message of love will forever live in each and every one of us. I thank you.
Thank you.